Today is there was prophetic ministry going out at the 1 to 4 o'clock session. Dr. Bruce said that right knee is being healed, and immediately I knew that that was for me. Last October, I injured my knee quite severely to the point, even last night, I could barely walk. By the time I got home, I was hobbling, and I've been suffering, and I've been, the past month and a half, been trying to exercise and trying to work through the pain. And so when he said that today, I just claimed that for me. I just knew that was mine. And just after he said that, I got on my knees, something I've not been able to do since last October, and I knelt down right here. So I want you to know that God is so tangible. The presence of God is so tangible right now. That by obedience, if you will just press in and reach out for it, anything that you need right now, you can just take it, because it's our inheritance in Christ. Amen?
Thank you, Lord. Nick on the piano, you had an experience today. Go ahead and share what happened to you.
Right after, basically, church was just getting, the session was getting basically over, and we prayed at the very end, and basically, we were just praying, and I lifted up my hands, and never, ever have I felt what I felt this morning. It literally, when I had my hands lifted up, it was, I thought like something was literally grabbing my arm. Like it felt that, like literally something was, like the Spirit of God was right there. It was, and I looked over because I thought my arm was touching my wife. And I was far enough away that it was not touching her. And so I was like, oh my goodness, this is nuts. And so I closed my eyes and began to worship God again. And literally that same feeling went on my hands, and it felt, I can't even, it's crazy. Like this never happened to me before, but it was so real. Like it was tangible. And I told my wife, I said, my eyes probably were huge. I was like, lift up your hands right now. And it was just like the glory of God was so tangible. It was right, I mean, literally it was like it went from the spiritual to the physical. And it's just powerful, man. It's unbelievable.
Thank you, Lord. How many were here this afternoon and did experience a touch from the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, he's no respecter of persons. That means that if he's did it for one individual, he'll do it for you. So if you've never experienced the glory of God, the presence of God, his touch in your life, you're a candidate. And if you have, and maybe haven't touched and received it for a while, tonight may be your night. So Lord, we just do. We release your glory in this house, God. Lord, we release everything that heaven has for us here, right now. Lord, as it is in heaven, let it be in these earthen vessels, God. In these vessels, God, that have been designed to bear fruit for your glory, Lord. Release your glory, Lord. Release your power. Release everything, Lord, that you have for us tonight, God. You get the praise for it, Lord. You get the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're in this position a lot of times on Sundays. You don't even know where to go because he's working so big in all of our lives. But I do want to give you an opportunity to bless the man of God. He's come and he's poured out, and him and his wife have come, and we just want to take an opportunity to bless them. And so if my ushers would come up, we're just going to just pray a blessing over this offering. Lord, we know, God, that you are our source. There's no other source out there, God, that we can rely on. That is so evident in these days, Lord. You are our source. And we know, Lord, that you're Bruce and Reshma's source, God. You are their source, God. They look to you, Lord. But God, if we have an opportunity right now, I pray, Lord, that whatever you've put on our hearts, Lord, to bless this man and woman of God, Lord, bless the prophet that you've sent here, God. Lord, that we would honor them, Lord, and honor you, God, in our giving. Lord, I pray you bless the givers. God, let them be enriched with the kingdom of God, fresh in their lives tonight. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this afternoon we had a great time and was basically taught the principle of God's presence coming as we seek Jesus. And boy, it's like he manifested that tonight. His presence here, powerful. And it may just be me, but I'm very satisfied and thankful that he shows up and comes and invites us to be with him. And so I want to go ahead and allow us to have some more teaching, some more revelation, some more impartation to take place tonight. Bruce, would you please come up?
Good morning. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, the sound man's sound. He's a sound man. Hallelujah. You got to be careful teasing sound men because you might not be heard. I tell you a funny story. I used to work at TBN and down in California with Paul and Jan, and that one night I was the floor director. I forget who the guest was. He was a trumpet player, and he wore a toupee. He reminded me of Doc Severinsen, but I didn't know he wore a toupee. But we were always joking back and forth, and, you know, that's the time they had the stairs down both sides, and he was going to sing, too. So he went up there and in place, and I'm counting down 10, 9. He goes, "Hey, Bruce, is my hair on straight?" And I said, "Oh, no, it's crooked." And he went, "Oh," and he shifted it. And then it was one, and boom, he sang the whole song with his hairpiece half off, and I was dying. And I knew I was going to be fired that night. I was just appalled. And I told him afterwards, he just laughed it off. He says, oh, well. I went, oh. I said, don't joke with them just before they get up. Hallelujah. 1592, a man named Martin de Porres in Peru was so desirous of being a servant of God and following God that he went into a monastery just to serve the monks, not to become a Catholic monk. And he spent most of his time not only serving them, he learned a little bit of the medicine of his day, but just praying and worshiping God. This man was so in love with the Lord that they would come to his cell, and when they would open the door, he would be lost in ecstasy. Just, you know, they kneel down in there to worship God, but he would be levitated in the air. He was just lost in worship to God. Now, most Christians say, oh, levitation, that's the devil. The devil can't make those things happen. He can steal what God's already given. By the way, it's in the Bible, Jesus ascended. He was known as the flying monk. There was a time when they were trying to put a bell in a bell tower, and 30 monks were pulling for all their strength, and they were starting to lose their grip, and he was standing in the back, and he flew up, grabbed the bell, and stuck it in the tower. They didn't know what to do with this guy. He was too mystical for them. And there were accounts of him being transported around the world to minister Jesus to people. You know, by then it was only by ship. And there were people that would come back to Peru after months and years away and say, hey, I met you in. And he'd say, shh, don't say anything. Why am I telling you this? Because through every generation, there's always been men or women of God that have passionately pursued God and connected with a supernatural God. He is real and he is tangible. I understand my brother's lack of an ability to express what he experienced, but it is believable. It's not unbelievable. It is believable if you know God. And what he wants to do in our lives is beyond anything we've ever asked or thought. As a matter of fact, it was not long ago, it was a few years ago, he said to me, I want you to start believing me for things you've never seen and never heard. I said, well, how do I do that? I've never seen or heard of that. So I started just, okay, never seen, never heard, never seen. Well, you know, we've heard and seen and experienced many amazing things in Christ. I mean, we've heard of gemstones, seen those, and gold dust, and I've heard about feathers. I don't quite get that, but that doesn't mean they're not right. I mean, you know, I don't judge that until I'm there, and then I can discern. There's all sorts of things that take place, you know, and I'm like, okay, never said, okay, all that's, I said, I know what, Father. I want to taste fruit off the tree of life and drink from the river of life. And then I just jokingly say, I've never seen, never heard that, Lord, that's what I want. And then last Rosh Hashanah, in an experience that he said he's releasing to the church, he did that very thing. Here's what happened, and I want you to hear this tonight as I start, so that you understand what we're entering into, the season we're entering into now. It's the season of harvest. For the last 10 out of 11 years, as I said, I've had a visitation on Rosh Hashanah. And it's a communication from the Lord to me about what he's releasing to the body of Christ. Not an individual, but to the body. And so this year was different in the fact that I had two nights in a row instead of one night. And the first night, September 28th, about 7:30 in the evening as we were in worship in a service. That's why these, again, worship is so intrinsic to what God's doing. As a matter of fact, before I tell you that, let me tell you what I saw here tonight. You want to hear that? Well, you do, okay. I saw a very large book, and the page was just being turned. And the Lord's saying, you're entering a new chapter, a new season. Or he's about to do new things. I said, yes, sir. That's good. And so the first night I saw this chalice. It was in front of me. It was golden. It looked like it had been used. It had blue gemstones around it. You know, I'm into type and symbology. You know, the blue speaks of the prophetic and the heavenlies. And I could go through all the gold, soul, holiness, purity, to fear God. But I just kept dialing. Father, what are you saying? Visions are language. So what are you speaking to me? What are you communicating? And he didn't say anything. And I pondered that all that night and the next day into the next evening, where we had to go to another service in another town. And we started, the worship started. I love the way they worship there. They don't have a live band. They have band in a box. But it's out of the box. They go for 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, just worshiping God until they connect. And so we were just in that place. And from the first note, whew, I was gone. Reshma saw it. She even said, when you got up to teach, you were still gone. I have to figure that one out. But anyway. But I could not disengage from this experience. The first thing he showed me was about a 5-foot flaming sword in front of me. I've seen something like that before, and that speaks of the Word of God, the fire of God. He said, grasp the sword. So I went like this, and my hand, it was like, and I couldn't open my hand. And I felt the fire of God. It was burning. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? For about 20 minutes, Father, what are you saying? Finally, I sat down. I'm tired of doing this, you know. Try that for 10 or 20 minutes. I sat down, and I decided I'm going to lay it across my legs. And when I did, it was like, shh. I went, that was hot. Father, what is this? What are you doing? He said, sheath the sword. I'm looking around going, sheath this. I expected to see a sheath. I didn't see anything. And then I got the revelation. Oh, I put it in my heart. When I did that immediately, I was on this plane somewhere in the earth. And before me was a mass of humanity. But they were demon bound. It was darkness over them. There was the demonic. There was change. There was bondages. There was addiction. Everything was going on. And the demonic was just torturing them. And I looked to my right, and when I did, in my left, there was just a small army, like a Gideon's army. And I noticed they were in armor, and I looked down, and I was in armor. And the armor wasn't bright and shiny with beautiful gemstones, you know, like we like to depict this. It was just kind of a dullish, drab color. And I said, Lord, why? He said, humility. I said, okay. And what was interesting, if I turned my head this way, everybody in the army did. We were one. We couldn't do anything separately. And then I faced forward again, and the Lord said, draw forth the sword. And as one, we all took the sword out of our heart and went like this. And when we did, the glory of God just went whoosh, like a wave. And vaporized demons and destroyed chains and bondages. And people who were in darkness rose up out of darkness into the light. And then they came and formed in the rank of the army of God. And we began to move forward as one. And we began to go throughout the earth, delivering people from darkness and bondage and demonic oppression. And it was amazing. Because there was no man, woman, or child, and they were all in this line, this army, that had any thought to do anything on their own. We couldn't. The head controlled the body. And we were one. And then it got to the place I said, Lord, I'm getting tired. As this went on, like I said, the worship was 2 hours. This vision was going on for 2 hours. I said, Lord, I'm getting tired. And immediately I was in paradise. That was more vivid than this. And in paradise, I had seen there was an offshoot of the river of life called the River of Revelation. And I'd seen that before. I've been there before in Christ. And I saw this goblet sitting next to the river. And the Lord said, take and drink. And I said, oh. So I took that and I drew forth water out of the River of Revelation. And when I put it to my lips and began to drink, I just started getting a download of revelation so fast and so much, it was like, and I said, Lord, I can't handle that. And I said, how am I going to remember all that? He said, you don't have to, it's in you now. And I want to tell you, I started getting revelation in passages of scripture I'd never even thought about before. And it was phenomenal. I said, Lord, wow. And then He said, I was next to a tree. He said, take and eat. And as soon as he said that, there was a fruit in my hand, and it was about the size of a grapefruit, looked like a color of a pear. I can't tell you what it was. It was, yeah, it tasted awesome. I can't describe that. And then it vanished, and this vigor came into me, and I went, oh. And then I'm looking out at paradise, and I saw a little girl off in the distance trying to jump up and grab fruit off the tree, and she couldn't get it. So the branch came down and picked her up and brought her up to the fruit. I said, cool. I watched it a little bit further down, a little boy trying to do that, and he couldn't reach it, and the branch reached down and handed him the fruit. And I'm just watching as people were milling about in paradise, the redeemed that have gone home. It was amazing to me. And I looked in the distance, and there was the city of God. Phenomenal. Just the glory of God was coming off that. It was tangible. It was palpable. And all of a sudden, a trumpet blast out of the city. And I knew it was a convocation that was being called in the city, and I wasn't allowed to go. But these people started floating and flying up towards the city. And I said, Lord, what are you saying in this? He said, in this hour, as I am causing my people to go forth as the army of God and complete their destiny and fulfill what I've called them to do at the end of the age, I will bring my people for times of refreshment into the paradise of God so that they can be reinvigorated, refreshed, and finish the journey. And I said, yes, sir. Now, you might think that's spooky, spiritual, mystical, a nice dream. Can I say this with all humility and very carefully? I really don't care what you think. I know what I experienced, but I'm telling you, body of Christ, this belongs to you. You have access, and it's yours. And so I was sitting here tonight because we're going and going. I was a little bit tired, and I said, Lord, I need another drink. He said, I told you to make yourself at home. I just took another, and that's when the vision started kicking in again, and I got all this energy again, so you might be here till tomorrow morning. Do you understand? There are certain things in Christ you have to do by faith. Prophetic gestures look foolish. So many people are afraid of looking foolish. Can I tell you, you already look foolish to somebody, so don't worry about it. Just get over that. Who cares what people think? I want to know what my Father thinks. And I would rather look foolish to every man, woman, and child on planet Earth, but please my Father in heaven. That's the only one that counts. And by the way, it's only pride that says, what do people think about me? If you're dead, you don't care what folks think. Yeah. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Well, if you're not, you're going to be. Hey, we got notes going all over, Lord. What is this? Tracking. Hey, I had a package that I got. Cool. Okay. Rosh Hashanah last year began the Hebrew New Year 5772. Now, they start their calendar in September, October, depending upon the year. 5772. What's interesting, in the ancient Hebrew, every letter is both a picture and has a numeric value. Letters in every word combine to paint a word picture. So each word has a volume of revelation and significance if you understand the word pictures of each alphabetical letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Let me give you just an example. The fourth word in the Hebrew language Bible is, in the beginning, God created et. Non-translatable in the English, so they didn't even carry it over. But et, or et, not that et, is aleph tav, or A to Z in the Hebrew alphabet, aleph to tav. So here's what it looked. There's so much significance in this. It says, in the beginning, God created the Hebrew alphabet, the word. Aleph Tav. Well, big deal. That's nice. Do you know that in the Human Genome Project, a friend of ours, Dr. David Van Coovering, has a very good friend who is a top scientist in the human genome study of human DNA. He called him one day, just all in a frantic panic. He said, Vancouver, get over here. You've got to explain this to me. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, never, just come. So he went over. Now, he had, under a micron microscope, you know, they run the video to capture everything to look at. And they've discovered in every strand of human DNA only was embedded the ancient Hebrew alphabet. Where's that in the Bible? Well, you're created in the image of God. And by the way, the Word became flesh. You have the Hebrew alphabet in every strand of human DNA. What does that mean? That means when you speak the word over your body, it's got to align. It's got no choice. In the beginning, God created Aleph Tav. Now, the word Aleph, that letter, excuse me, has a pictographic significance of an ox. It means first strength leader. The Tav, the ancient Tav in the Hebrew alphabet was like a cross. It spoke of Redeemer. So here's what he said. The fourth word in the Bible, the Torah, was the first leader, the Redeemer, comes through the sign of the cross. He's the Aleph Tav, the beginning and the end. And by the way, 90% of your New Testament, they have research to discover that 90% of that New Testament was originally written in the Hebrew. Jesus didn't say, I'm the Alpha and Omega. He literally said, I'm the Aleph Tav. He went back to Genesis chapter 1 and said, that's me. Amen or oh no. There is so much in Christ, so much in this word that is yet to be discovered. We will be discovering God for eternity. He is ever increasing. Tilt. There is no end of God. Look at it this way. You will always be at a beginning in God. That's why the angels that go around the throne, when they said holy, you know, holy, holy, holy. You think after a few millennia, they'd be bored. You know, it's like, you do. You got nothing better to do? Holy, holy, holy. Do you know what? Here's a better translation. Every time they go around the throne of God, they're going, wow, wow, wow. Because they're discovering new facets of God they have never seen before. Because the outward radiance of the knowledge of God continues for eternity. And yet, man in his infinite wisdom thinks they have God figured out. We're going to learn more about the person of the Lord in this generation than any past generation. Because he's going to continue to reveal himself to this generation. He's coming back for a church without spot and blemish. Let me ask you a question. Who's the bride of Christ? Really? New Jerusalem is scriptural. Who makes up the New Jerusalem? Oh, now they're quiet to think I'm going to fool them. You know, when I was in Bible college, the first thing I said was, well, you know, according to the professors, Lord, it was the church. He said, let's go back to the Word. I hate love it when he does that. Because every time he does that, I got to throw out what I thought I knew and, you know, learn all over again. Let me just give you an example. I'm not going to teach this tonight. When the Holy Spirit asked me that again, I tried to point the blame at the professors. He said, remember you learned in school the law of first mention. Now, there's about 17 different ways to study the Word of God, Bible hermeneutics and different things. But one of them is the law of first mention, or the principle of first mention. And that is the first time anything is mentioned in Scripture. From that point on, every subsequent mention of the same subject matter, you go back to the first mention to help you interpret. So, here's what happened. God said on the sixth day, He created man out of the dust of the earth. So then from that point on, we realize six is the number of man. What we fail to do is look, every time He talks about earth or dust, there's some facet of revelation for us to glean when he's talking about man or the condition of man all throughout the Bible. So that's how that works. So here's what he said. He said, now, the bride of Christ, Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam, he put Adam into a deep sleep. Out of his side, he took a rib. And he created Hawa. Not Eve, but Hawa in the Hebrew, but Eve. So he didn't clone Adam. The whole body was not the bride. But out of his body, out of his side came the bride. So there, the first mention, we have a principle, we have a foundation. All throughout the Word, we can look, wait a minute, the whole body or the whole church is not the bride of Christ. Well, that really threw me. I said, okay, God, but you said in the mouth of two or three, he said, boom, Genesis 24. And he started taking me on this journey through the Word. And I began to realize I didn't know anything. Doesn't matter how long you study, stay in the place of not knowing anything, except for Jesus. He will lead you and guide you into... Oh, really? Not just some of truth? No, all the truth if you're willing to be taught. And so, he has been whittling away at the box I created through the years of institutional learning that I took wholeheartedly without going back to the Word for myself. I teach in Bible colleges and seminaries. I love doing that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying you need to go in with your ear attuned to the Spirit of God more than the voice of man. And the truth is they're only teaching what they know. It's okay to learn some of that, but let God teach you what He knows. And so I began to learn some things, and I said, Lord, this Word is so vast. How can anybody ever grasp this? He said, they can't without me. And he began to take me on a journey through this Word of discovery of things, you know, that were impossible, and God doesn't do that, and no, no, and wrong, wrong, and, you know, foolish, and whatever. And the Lord started doing things in my life that began to make this so real and so tangible. That's why I can say it again. I said it last night, I think. The man with the experience is never at the mercy of the man with the theology. You can give me your tradition and theology all day long. I experienced God. You can't tell me it's not real. Now, I make sure it's in the Word. Don't misunderstand me. You've got to have a foundation of understanding of His Word. But He's about to reveal Himself in ways He never has before. Here's one of the key texts you can use for that. Luke 24. John, the last book of John. When Jesus, when they went to the garden tomb. I like Matthew's rendition of this. They asked Herod to put a guard on the tomb. Lest he come and steal his body and, you know, say he rose from the dead, you know, and all that stuff. So they put a guard on the tomb and they sealed it with three seals. There's a lot of insight into that. I won't go in that. Then, early in the morning on the third day, there was an earthquake. Well, what have we been seeing throughout the earth? We have more 7.0 earthquakes in a month than we used to have in 100 years. There's earthquake. Then there was angelic manifestation. More of that in the last 20 years than we've ever heard throughout history. And then the fear of God came and the guards fell over like dead men. I like that one. And then the stone was rolled away. And the Word Himself came forth. Revelation. It's early in the morning on the third day. The hardness of heart has been rolled away sovereignly and supernaturally by God. And revelation is coming forth. And we are positioned to receive profound insight and revelation from a resurrected Jesus like never before. Here it comes. So every time we pick this Bible up, we should expect new insight and new revelation. That's why you can ask Reshma. I don't know how many Bibles I have anymore. At least 40. Every brand on the market. I mean, I love the Word of God and I love the God of the Word. And I study, but here's what happens to me. I mark up Bibles. I mean, I take copious notes and I write Greek and Hebrew, I write all sorts of stuff. And then if you stay in that Bible, you get stuck in that particular vein of revelation. So I have to set it down and get a new one. I'm grateful for what he gave me, but I want to keep going forward. I don't want to get stuck in that one rut. So I go through Bible after Bible after Bible because it's always new. It's always new. 5772 is new. You know, 1998 was the year 5758 in the Hebrew language. Here's what it spelled out with the numeric pictographic significance. 1998, 5778 spelled out seasons of Noah. Sound familiar?
Can you hear me now?
Matthew 24 and 25. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the end. Men and women will be marrying and giving in marriage just prior to the return of Christ. 1998, seasons of Noah. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you understand why the flood of Noah came in his generation, you will see the same perversion and debauchery really begin to rear its head and come forth in 1998. It came on strong from that point on. Hallelujah, hold on. 5772 is a very unique year. It spells out Jesus as powerful master of his church. Jesus as the powerful master of his church. What does that look like? Well, you study the Gospels and you study the parables, and it says that a certain husbandman lent out a vineyard. And he went into a far country. And at times he would send servants, and those that had leased the vineyard said, well, you know, let's shut them up and chase them off. We want to do what we want to. And they kept abusing or killing his servants, the prophets. So he said, I know what, I'll send my son. They'll respect him. And they got together and said, look, if we kill his son, we'll get the vineyard. So they killed his son. What will that husbandman do when he returns to that vineyard? When the master returns to that vineyard, there will be judgment and reward. What do you mean? Well, he gave another parable. He gave talents to three servants. The two that multiplied it received reward. The one who buried it received a judgment. Jesus is returning as master of his church now, and there will be judgment and reward together. If you're walking in righteousness and with a pure heart before God, there's nothing to fear in judgment. But if you have not been walking with God with the pure integrity of your heart, there's going to be some reckoning. This year begins that. This is the year 5772. Now, the 70s in the Hebrew calendar, the Ayin years, literally spells out the seeing years. So from 5770 all the way through 5779, there's an increase of the ability to see in the realm of the Spirit. And we're going to see the operation of God with a tangible reality that we've never had before. You still with me? 5773 spells out the gracious, benevolent Redeemer. 5774 spells out he is the door on the eye, or our open door of destiny. Now look at 5775 or 2015. I love this. You ready for this one? The God who indwells us without measure. You see, all of these seeing years are leading up to one thing, becoming like Jesus. Because the more you gaze into that mirror and behold him, you're changed and transformed from glory to glory into the image of the Son of Man. And in these seeing years, the 5770s, by the time we hit 5775 or 2015, we are positioned to have him indwell us without measure. What does that without measure look like? Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But there's a progression. The first thing he's doing this year as the master of the house is bringing reward and judgment. He's cleaning up the house. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is strange, but you might find this strange. I don't. When I was 17, the Lord gave me Jeremiah 1. He said, that's your life. That's your calling. And it was before I formed you in the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. And don't say, Lord, I'm a young man. I don't know how to speak, for I'll fill your mouth and I'll give you exactly what you need to speak and when you need to speak it. And he just kept reiterating that. Do you know in 1978, there were no prophets? Now, the church didn't recognize that. I couldn't go to somebody and say, what does that mean? Because I tried, and they said, well, you're going to be a missionary. Why are you going to be an evangelist? Thank God they never said pastor. That's a tough job. I know, I were one once. And so there was no paradigm for that. I had no compass in the church or in the word, really, that I could find that direction. And so I just kept stumbling. My father, he'll tell you, we got saved at the same time, just about. And, you know, he said, I recognized the gift in you. I didn't know what it was. I just knew I needed to encourage you. So that's all he'd do. You know how he'd encourage me? Bruce, come up here and give this person a word. I would get so frustrated. Because in my ignorance, you know, I'd say, it's as the Spirit wills, not as you will. Dumb. Finally, one day the Lord said, I put him in that position of leadership. When you submit to him, you're submitted to me. Do as you're told. I went, oh. I come up there just blank, like, I don't have anything. But you know what? When I did it by faith and stood up there, God always gave me something. I started getting some mentoring. It was, smarten up. It was fun. And so God began this progression in my life of following after him in this. And as I said earlier, I wanted a mentor for years. He said, no, I want you created in my image, not their image. So I stumbled on and stumbled on and stumbled on. And finally, one day, some of those that I esteemed as, you know, forerunners and that kind of my heroes in the faith and in this type of thing, I started ministering together with them. And I realized, you know, they're not all that. I'm not all that. We're just people. Well, you don't have to get so excited about it. But the truth is, we're just normal people with a hunger for God. We need to look at each other as valuable members of the family of God, where we esteem each other. Hello. And so I just kept going through this. And he began to just pour out revelation and give me things that I'd never heard and never seen from anybody. And I'd have to go back and say, what do you think of this? And they said, wow, that's amazing. And I went, what? I'm telling you this for a reason. Because you see, God has given you some things. And you think, oh, everybody knows that. That's what I thought. Till I started sharing it and they went, wow. You have a wow in you. You just got to learn to share what God gives you because we need it. Amen. Don't assume the people up front or the people you see ministering all the time have it all because we don't. We need you. But what God's deposited in you is so relevant to the generation we're in, so relevant to this season that we're part of because we are part of the same army. We're called with the same high calling in Christ. We're both kings and priests. We both have destiny to fulfill, and it's to bring glory to him, not glory to him or her. And so we must grow up into him in some things. No, all things. And the first thing we have to understand is we all have destiny and a calling of God. Here's what God spoke to me so loudly and so clearly for 2012. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this house in its first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes in comparison to it? Now let me stop there. When we study, I love studying church history. I love history. I always have. But when you study the history of the church and past revivals and past moves, there's a danger in getting snared by a desire to see that very same thing. Thank God for the moves of God we've seen. Thank God for the foundation that was laid. That's a foundation. And it died. It ran its course and went into the earth, and it became seed. And this generation is going to see a springing forth of every past revival, every past move of God in the fullness of its manifestation in the earth. Thank God for yesterday's moves of God, but I don't want yesterday. I want to see the fullness of what He's going to do in this generation, because what He has before us overshadows everything He's ever done throughout history. How do I know that? Because it's the end of the age, and the glory of this latter house will far surpass that of the previous. That's what He says. He says, yet now strengthen. Strengthen, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Strengthen, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Strengthen all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. Ooh, I don't like that word. Faith without works is dead. We've got to do something with our faith. I took a team of 43 people before I was married to Reshma to Fiji. That's where Reshma's from. My beautiful bride is an island princess. And we went to Fiji, and you know, it was interesting. First off, I will never do that again unless God really speaks to me loud and clear. But 43 people came with 40, well, no, there were 11 young Master's Commission kids that I would take anywhere in the world at any time. The rest of them, they all came with their own agenda. They weren't on the same team. And we began to see God do something. But here's what I asked each one of them. When they were praying about whether or not they should go, I would, especially the young ones. The older ones were pretty much set in their ways. But I asked the kids, I said, well, are you going? They said, well, we're praying about it. I said, what are you praying? They said, we're praying for the money. I said, you need to repent right now. You stop praying about money or to money or for money. That's idolatry. You pray and ask what the will of God is. And you ascertain what the will of God is. And when He tells you what He wants you to do, He will always provide. And they said, oh, God, forgive us. They started praying and saying, Lord, are we supposed to go? And when the Lord said, you're supposed to go, I said, now He's told you you're going to go. What's your response? Well, we got to fight. And I said, no. Your response is, thank you, Lord. What is your strategy? Supernaturally, God provided for every one of those kids. That is using your faith. Do something by faith. The first time I had to go to Fiji, the very first time, I had $20 in my pocket. The Lord said, go to Fiji. Something by faith. I've already got a passport. I'd already packed a suitcase and kept it in the closet because I knew I was going to travel. So I'd been doing faith steps. I said, $20. I said, okay, called the airline. What does it take from San Antonio, Texas, where I was living, to Los Angeles? They said, $209. I said, okay. Hung up and said, Lord, what do I do? You did a little work for so-and-so. Call them. I said, oh, yeah. I said, bro, I said, you know, I did some work for you. Do I have anything on the books? He goes, yeah, I think you do. Just a minute. He said, yeah, you got $209. I said, I need it. I'm supposed to go to Fiji. He said, man, you can go for $209? I said, yeah. So I got $209 and bought the ticket to Los Angeles for a week and a half away. Then I had some friends in L.A., so I called them and said, look, I'm coming. I'm on my way to Fiji, but I want to hang out with you guys for a couple days. They said, oh, yeah, come on out, man. We'll set up some meetings for you. Well, okay. That'll work. So we went up to the high desert to outside of the Mojave. Mojave, you know, is a town up there by Edwards, into a little town called Boron, California. I mean, this little bloop in the road that's nothing. Even coyotes avoid that place. There is one good Mexican restaurant, though. I'll say that. But there's nothing there, and I thought, okay. So I was up there for a week and a half, just I was teaching in the church and having fun, and, you know, from Los Angeles to Fiji round trip was like $800. And I taught for 2 weeks, and you know, we never asked for anything, and that's just the way God taught me. And so they received offerings, and it was $400. You know, by then I was like, oh good, Lord, I tried, I get to go home now. And the day I was supposed to get the ticket, this person drove up in the car. I said, oh, so-and-so's here. Yeah, that's interesting. Came in the house and started peeling off $100 bills. And the couple I was with almost fell out and passed out. They said, that person never does that. And the only thing I'm thinking is, darn it, now I have to go. That's the truth. Pack my bag. We run down to Los Angeles. I buy the ticket. I had $400 extra. Woo-hoo! But the missionary needed some things. So I was there for about 3 weeks, ministered, gave her, blessed her. By the time I got home, I had my same $20. You see, you got to do something by faith. This is an adventure. Well, didn't you think you'd get stuck in Los Angeles? No. They wouldn't want me. You just step out in faith. There are some of you, God has already called you to places, and you're trying to figure out, well, how are we going to do that? And, you know, I got to have this much, and I got to do... Okay, that's good, but you got the cart before the horse. You need to respond by faith. Yes, sir. Now, Father, show me how. And he'll do it. Hallelujah. I don't know why I said that. That was for somebody. Now he said, according to the word that work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt or the world, so my spirit remains among you. Do not be in awe. There's no Hebrew translation for do not into the English language that will do it justice. You ever had your mother said, don't you ever think about that? Don't you even think about it? That's closer to do not. You see, in our culture, we do not, don't do that. That means nothing anymore. It was so strong when God said, do not. You're like, don't do it. Don't cross that line. So he's saying, do not be in awe. Don't fear what's about to come. Here's what he says. To not be afraid of. Thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations. Here's why judgment is coming, so that the precious gift of all the nations will come. What is the precious gift? People. The Word of God teaches us that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And we can say it conversely, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And one day I said, you know what, Father? What's treasure to you? I want to be like you. He said, treasure to me is my people. I said, oh, have I been missing that by a country mile? Forgive me. I want that to be my treasure too. So the precious gift of all nations are the souls. It's speaking of an end time harvest. That's where the shaking in the earth is coming right now to cause those people to cry out for God. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. What house? The house at the end of the age. Now we think of a temple made by human hands, but you are the temple of God. And he wants to fill that house with glory. A surpassing glory, a glory beyond anything that's ever been witnessed on planet Earth, because it's a time of fulfillment. It's a time of maturity. It's a time of coming forth. Yes. Yes, amen or oh no. Amen. This is it. This is the day we were created for. This is what we've been crying out for. We haven't even realized it. I used to laugh years ago, you know, they started singing these songs about, Lord, send your fire. And I'm like, dude, give it to him, God. I've been in the fire. I know what it's about. Have it. It's painful. Leviticus 7:17 says, the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice must be burned with fire on the third day. Remember, it's the third day from Jesus. What's the flesh of the sacrifice? You. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reason. That's reasonable, God? Are you kidding me? Let's talk. You see, there's a presencing of God in fire that comes to purify a vessel to make us vessels of honor. Most people shun that fire, the fiery trials that come upon us, because we don't like to be uncomfortable. And then the church in the West says, well, why does the third world nations always have the marvelous miracles? Because they live in the fire. They have no choice. And they believe in a supernatural God that can do anything. And He does. Yeah, we were in Malaysia not long ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And God, the Lord started having me provoke people with Matthew 10, 7 and 8. What does that say? That says, as you go, wherever you're at in life, you're at school, you're at work, you're in the store, in the mall, whatever, as you go, preach. Don't know if I can preach. Well, He gave you the message, 7 words for the seventh day. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. I can memorize that sermon if I really study. Then He said, do the stuff. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead and cast out devils. Freely you have received. Boy, we got that one down in the church. Give me. Now freely give. Give away. You want to know what true seed time and harvest is in the kingdom? Here it is. It's not about money. Never intended to be about money. You want more revelation? Give away what you got. You want more anointing? Give away what you got. That's seed time and harvest. We have misconstrued it and moved it into the natural realm, and it's all about money. There is an application, but that's so far removed from the reality of the truth of what God intended. He said, look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't worry. Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like that. And you're worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and what you... Oh, you of little faith. We have built whole movements based upon little faith principles. Let's get out of that and move into the deeper waters. As I said, you're an ambassador. The country that sent you forth takes care of your every need. If you get that revelation, you never have to sow to give. You sow because you love. It's all His anyway. Hallelujah. I'm stepping on toes. We're learning to dance. It's good. Then He said this. The silver is mine. Oh, there's that money thing. No. No. Sanctification and redemption is what silver speaks of. Here's what God is saying. Sanctification and redemption are mine. Holiness, purity, and the fear of God are mine. That's gold. You with me? The glory of this latter house will be greater than that of the former. And I shall give peace in this place. Here's what's about to happen. Because sanctification, holiness, purity, and the fear of God are the portion of the glory of the latter house. That's what we're going to walk in. We are going to see a move of God sweep the earth that's going to reap a harvest like we have never seen before. And it will be genuine. It will be holiness, purity, and the fear of God. Not how many really want to accept Christ, just confess this good you're in. There's no conviction in a lot of that. That's just kind of a greasy grace slip in and they think they're sad. No, you got to work out your salvation. And if you've never met the God of awe, respect, and fear, you haven't met God. And He's about to shake this world and we're going to know the fear of God. And it's an awe, respect, and a reverence for an almighty God that we've never experienced before. Thank you. When's the last time we tiptoed into church because the palpable presence of God was there and we didn't want to grieve Him? We're in that day. We're about to see that take place. It's going to... You hear me now. I don't care if there's 5 feet of snow. That's not a prophecy. People will take their shoes off at the door in respect for God. And it's not because we're going to mandate that. It's because they're going to be so aware of the holy God, whose presence they're entering, that they just want to, oh, reverence God. You're going to begin to see unusual things like that because the presencing of God, and if you begin to respect God, you're going to receive God without measure. Hello?
Yes, sir.
You asked me what I saw in here. I've seen many angels in many churches. There is one specific angel that is assigned to every church. They have their own mandate, their metron of rule. Some of them are bored silly. Seriously, some of them are, they look like they have cobwebs on them. They're just, that visions are language. Some of them look like they've been through World War III and they're smiling. Yeah, we're doing something for God. Some of them in this house have been busy preparing a people for a move of God that is so vast it will touch nations. And they have been, I saw this. Do you know, I got to say it this way. We were in a church some years ago and the Lord said they had all sorts of unusual manifestations. And I mean, something in my spirit was like, no, there's something wrong. And so I just prayed a simple prayer. I apply the blood of Jesus. Nothing that's of not of God will enter through those doors. Leave your demons at the door. And I as God is my witness, people walking in, and I saw them going, standing outside, man, wanting to come in. No manifestations of silver dust and all this stuff. And and they would come up and say, look it. And they have tape. See what I got? And Reshma said, oh, can I touch? No, that's mine. Are you out of your mind? So nothing happened. Meeting's over. God moved. People go out the door and out on the sidewalk and all over is silver dust. And they went, oh, God was here. And they went and grabbed their tape and started gathering all that garbage up again. We looked at each other. I said, did you not hear what we prayed? Since then, they've moved away from following signs to following Jesus. Why am I saying that? Because these angels in this house have been putting a mark upon the believers in this house that are preparing the temple that they are for God to begin to manifest himself supernaturally throughout this region. That's what they're doing. And there's baggage outside the door. Now, it's your choice whether you pick it up when you go or whether you just leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hold on. Have some water, honey. So God's about to do something. The glory of this latter house. Phenomenal what he wants to do. Thank you. Phenomenal what he wants to do. And so as I was studying the Word, you know, one of the books is the prophetic promise of the seventh day. There's so much about the seventh day. Do you know the ancient Tanakh says that, and the rabbis believe this, and even Enoch believed this, and Hippocrates or whatever his name, hippopotamus man, whatever. I always had fun with those guys. But anyway, they said that the first Adam was only given a 6,000-year stewardship or six-day stewardship on planet Earth. And on the seventh day, the husbandman, the master, was going to return and inquire of the sons and daughters of Adam, what did you do with the stewardship of this earth? Well, God, I recognized all the sin and, you know, the debauchery and everything that's wrong. What did you do to make it right? And then the millennial reign of Messiah is going to be entered into. That we're in that transition right now. Right now. Here we are. And so, as I studied this, one of the first things I realized, seven is the number of rest. There's a rest on the seventh day. And I've studied rest, and I mean, I love the study of that because every time I look at it, there's something new and something fresh. And he just gave me something new and something fresh a couple of weeks ago. And I want to share that with you. In 1 Chronicles 22:9. 1 Chronicles. It says, behold, a son will be born to you who shall be a man of rest. And I shall give him rest from all of his enemies around, for his name will be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness to all of Israel in his days. I said, wait a minute, God, rest, seventh day, there's something here. He said, yes, my people will know what it means to be men and women of rest on the seventh day, and I will give them peace from all of their enemies all around. I said, God, how can that be? I mean, at the end of the age, the world's going nuts. He said, because I will fight for them. Rest is not the absence of activity. It's the peace of God in the midst of that activity. You read Chronicles, you find out that they went out in rest as an army and they defeated their foes. They were at rest. How can you be at rest and be in war? Because you're doing it according to the strategy of God. That's rest. You only do what He tells you to do. Rest. So we're called to be people of rest at the end of the age. Now it says in Hebrews that we have to strive to enter that rest. Wait a minute, rest, strive, rest. Huh? Well, there is a contending for rest because we have been trained in our generation and in our culture to do. We got to be active about everything, otherwise we're not progressing. I used to hear it this way, you do your part and God will do His. In other words, you do everything you know to do and hope God takes over. No, here's my part. Father, what are you saying? Amen. He gave me this little ditty. I put this in my first book. Only do what He tells you to do. Only speak, let me start again. Only speak when spoken through. Only do what He tells you to do. Only go where He tells you to go. He will let you know what you need to know. Now, that's difficult. Only speak when spoken through. Man, that means a lot of folks wouldn't be talking at all, God. Amen. Something about that. Anyway, only do what He tells you to do? That means we don't stand up here and make something up. You don't make something up to do what you just wait on God. The scriptures, and I kid people with this, you know, we're so quick to grab oil and slap it on, say, let's pray the prayer of faith, brother. If God tells you to do that, do it. But what if the Lord says, spit in the dirt, make some mud, and put it in her eyes? That sounds fun. Especially if you get somebody willing to even try it, you know, come on up. See, He's creative. What about Smith Wigglesworth? Bam! I said, fivefold ministry. I like that one, God. Yeah. You see, be led of the Spirit. We were in a meeting one time. I've never been so shocked in my life. And this person came up for prayer. And you couldn't hear what was going on. And the guy went, okay. Smack! And I went, oh! Lawsuit! Bam! And I'm doing, oh my God. If he didn't hear God, he's in prison, man. That's it. Because it was videotaped. That person got up totally healed. I went, holy mackerel. And he told me afterwards, he said, I was scared to death. But God told me to do it. I went, whoa. I said, I ain't hanging out with you because that might rub off. But you see, you got to be led of the Spirit. Isn't that fun? Anybody want prayer right? Never mind. Here's the striving to enter His rest. It's passion. I gave you this scripture last night. I'm going to do it again. 2 Chronicles 15:14, it says, they swore to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with shofars. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart, passion, and sought Him with their whole desire, passion, and He was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest. That's how you strive to enter His rest. You sell out to God. With all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your imagination. I said that correctly. Heart, strength, and mind is what we read in the Bible, but the word mind is imagination. That means whatever you meditate on, whatever you think in your mind, that should glorify God. The second thing He showed me about this man of rest, here's the foundation. The foundation of rest opens the door to everything else. Rest is the door to spiritual eyesight. What do you mean? 2 Chronicles 1:7 says, in that night God appeared to Solomon and said, ask what I shall give you. When's the last time you had a blank check from God? I don't mean one you think he gave you. I mean when he specifically said, whatever you ask. See, you've got to be a person of rest before you even enter into that type of relationship. Otherwise, you're always in flesh, not rest. You're always moved by the arm of the flesh or the reason of your own understanding rather than by the Spirit of God. When you're in that place of rest, now you can ask, he can say whatever you want. Just speak. That's why I said last night, the word name is so intrinsic, so important to us, because it means character and authority in the New Testament and character, honor, and authority in the Old Testament. Whatever you ask in his character, that he'll give to you. It's got to be the character of Christ. You'll never have that character without being a person of rest, because that was the foundation in his life. He only did what he saw the Father doing and heard the Father speaking. Rest. 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 Well, I haven't heard God say anything for a week. Rest. Don't get so impatient. I got to do something. Rest. Because when he speaks and you do that, you will see results. Where before you just see a lot of effort. Rest. We had this lady come into a meeting in Coeur d'Alene. And she walked up and I knew there was something troubling her. I mean, she just, her whole demeanor, she was oppressed and just really down. And I mean, the compassion of God, I said, sister, what's the matter? This is like my grandmother. I wanted to give her a hug and say, it'll be okay. But I said, Father, I said, what's the matter? She said, well, my husband died a few months ago. And she started going through all this. And of course, I hear, but I tune out because I immediately say, Father, what are you saying? What are you saying, Father? She's giving me symptoms. What's going on? He started showing me. And then I said, as I said, what are you saying? I saw an angel come in. He had a platter with a beautiful alabaster vase of fragrant oil. And as he started, and I said, sister, this is what I see. And he started to pour it over her, and the fragrance filled the room. And her whole countenance changed. And she just lit up, and the joy of the Lord just effusively came out of her. And it was amazing, the transformation. Rest. Rest is, Father, what are you saying in every circumstance you're facing? It'll save you years of going around that mountain. Years. Lord, what are you saying? You know, when I finally got this revelation, I was facing something, and I tried to figure it out on my own, you know, prayed, fast, bind this, loose that, do the other thing. Finally, one day I said, Father, what are you saying? He said, I'm so glad you finally asked. He said, this, this, and this, and boom, I was out. I went, oh, man, that was too easy. But we contend in our own strength. Rest. I figured out my strength in the realm of the Spirit. I'm like wimpy, you know. I don't have any physical strength in the Spirit, but I have all of his strength if I avail myself of it. And it comes from rest. And those of you guys, some of you guys have been in the military, you understand being under authority. Don't shoot until you're given the order. Don't move left, don't move right, stand in your place and do what you're told to do. Yes, sir. And then when the commander says go, you do it. That's rest. Hello. So he has his spiritual eyes open to see. And God begins to pour out onto him. The third thing, from the foundation of rest, we see this released in the church. Wisdom, the wisdom of God. 2 Chronicles 1:8, he said, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great loving kindness to David my father and have made me to reign in his stead. Now, you've got to understand this. The Word of God teaches that there will always be somebody seated upon the throne of David. That's a promise given to David through Solomon all the way down. There's still somebody seated on the throne of David. That his name is Jesus. He said, let me read this a different way. You have shown great loving kindness to Jesus, our Lord, and have made us to reign in his stead. On the earth. We're to be kings and priests unto God in the earth. It's because of what Jesus did. And then he says, Now, Lord God, let your promise to Jesus or to David, my father, be established. For you have made me a king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge so I can go in and come out before this people or to rule this people and to judge this your people that is so great. We need the wisdom of God now more than ever. There is so much crazy going on. I some years ago during Desert Storm, I was in military intelligence. Oxymoron. Heavy on the moron part, too. And there are things that this government is doing. We were talking about some stuff over breakfast this morning that is just mind-boggling. And if you look at that, it could terrify you. We just go, yeah, Jesus is coming. But I want to tell you, we need the wisdom of God now to walk through this minefield called the natural realm and what's about to be released. Even within the next month, you're going to see things that are going to bring the world to its knees. There's going to be a major drastic shift. But we are going to shine. Remember the shaking. One more time, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. That's on us. That's on us. I am so looking forward to Israel knocking Iran back to the Stone Age. Not because I want people to die. Don't misunderstand. Because it's a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And if that happens, guess what? We got our clock. It's going quick. I don't pray against God, judgment's coming. Please, no, Lord, no, Lord. I'd say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Actually, I don't even do that. I want to. You know what I do? When there was a prophetic word about two volcanoes going off in the northwest here and all this stuff going on and instant knee-jerk reaction of most Christians. Oh, we got to pray against that. I said, time out. Why don't we say, Father, what do you want us to do? The longer we forestall judgment in the earth, the greater the darkness gets and the worse off people get because they get deeper and deeper. I'm all for the redemption. I don't want people hurt, but I want to tell you something. Father, what are you saying so we can get this game on? I want Jesus to come back. I'm selfish. But I want his strategy before I just jump in with both feet and say, I'm going to pray against that. No, I'm going to ask God for wisdom on what to do about that. And if he says, stand in the gap, I'm there. And I'm there till the last moment. But I want to tell you something. We need to use wisdom. What are you saying, Father? Even Jesus did that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this from me. But not my will, but your will be done. See, everything he did was according to the will of God. He didn't want to do it. His flesh was going, no. But his spirit man said, Father, whatever it is, I'll do it. We need to know what God's saying. And I tell you what, when God starts shaking everything and the props are knocked out, people are going to be listening. They're going to look for answers. You're that answer. Man of wisdom. The next thing on this foundation is worship. There is something God's doing in the earth, and I don't have time for this tonight, but when Holy Spirit bows himself to the earth, what does that look like? Bows himself in worship, which is what he's doing right now. Then you have Hillsong, you have prophetic in the worship, you have a new sound that comes forth in the earth, a worship that's the same sound that goes on in heaven. It's a new thing. The Holy Spirit is bowing himself to the earth right now. And when that kind of worship is entered into, we had a perfect opportunity tonight. We began to touch upon that. I mean, that was just barely a touch. I was, truthfully, when that starts to happen, we need to say we're going all the way. We don't need to hear from man. We need to connect with God. Don't be afraid. I mean, especially if I'm irrelevant. Let's connect with God. But something begins to happen. And when worship is entered into that, something happens like this. The house was filled with a cloud. the house of the Lord, so the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. He came down to a certain level today. As a matter of fact, the river came up about this high. So we had the cloud of glory here and the river here. I said, I don't know whether to jump or duck, because I want to get in the flow. Well, you're just seeing things. Yes, I am. I know the presence of God, and I understand when He speaks to me in vision. And so He's saying He's beginning to saturate this place with worship. And if you learn to just persevere a little bit longer, there will be a river that flows out of this house throughout this region, this valley. And He wants to visit. I hope you didn't take that. He doesn't want to visit. He wants to come and stay. I'm tired of this one-off touch. You just get, there he is. Where'd he go? Oh, he's over there now. Everybody's always telling me God's moving. I'm barely getting used to his old address. I want him to come and stay. Amen. I want to abide in his presence. Dwell there. Reshma and I talk about this all the time. Lord, we choose to dwell and move and live and breathe in the glory. Because it's in us and we release it everywhere we go. We choose that. We confess it every day. What's that got to do? Listen, 2001 was a strategic year in my life. I got a revelation that year of the favor of God. Esther on the third day was extended the scepter of God's favor. So in 2001, I get 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and I put on it so that I could see it every morning. Today is the day of the unparalleled, unprecedented, unmerited favor of God. And every morning, the first thing I see was that, and I agree with it. I just said, yes, Lord, today is the day of your favor upon my life. You know what, that year, I'd never owned a house before. I didn't even care about owning a house. Got tired of apartments, but I didn't care about it. He gave me a house. It was a wreck. Needed to be remodeled. I like doing that, so he gave me everything I needed. I had a brand new house the way I wanted it, with all the colors, the carpet, the kitchen, everything. I said, that's cool. Then he gave me a Corvette. I didn't care about a Corvette. Matter of fact, I'd rather have a truck. But he gave me a Corvette. I was blessed at the time. That was fun passing. Anyway, LA freeways, right? Done. Then he gave me a motorhome. Then I was offered a sailboat. I mean, this whole year was just shh, and I'm like, whoa. And I'm ministering somewhere in Oklahoma New Year's, and I'm just praying and say, Lord, what are you saying for the new year? He said, it's a year of increase. And I went, oh, maybe I'm going to get my jet, man. I love to fly. See, I wanted a P-51 Mustang, really, because I like to fly. Vintage. And I said, okay, Father, what do you want me to do? He said, give everything away. I laughed, because only God would do that. Yeah. So that was January 3rd. By January 6th, people really like to receive. It's amazing. Young girl got a Corvette to go to high school. She liked it. Somebody else got the house. I mean, everything. I had my suitcase again. Couple books. Then in March, he gave me my increase. He said, this is your wife. I said, God, now I need a house. And I need a car. And he provided all of that again. See, you're crowned with favor. You don't have to ask for that stuff, because when you're crowned with favor, he just pours it on you. And if you understand who you are on this third day, you can't give it away fast enough. You can't give it away fast enough. We got to be people of worship. Here's the most important aspect of worship: obedience to God. That's why I keep going back to, Father, what are you saying for today? Obedience to God is the highest form of worship. That is because you recognize his lordship. The next thing he did is, you want to see effective prayer? Solomon was a man of prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3 says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven See, the foundation of rest builds up to this place where when you pray, the fire of God falls. And lives are changed. I'm not going to say messed up. I'm going to say turned right side up. And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices of the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest couldn't even enter the house because of the glory of the Lord. It's the seventh day. It's a day of rest. It's a day of learning how to walk in this and saying, Lord, what are you saying today? I'm not asking you, Father, to bless what I'm doing. I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing so I can be blessed in coming along with you? That's rest. What's your name? You. Yeah, Nick. That's not a J. That's cool. Nick, there's something about rest you're really going to get a revelation of. I mean, it's all over you because you've been one that's always had to strive in everything you've attained in your life. And that's been so built into you. And there's nothing wrong with striving for excellence. But now God's going to change this to a coming from the position of rest, where you're just going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And it's going to be so easy now. You're going to say, man, I should have done this years ago. Rest. There's a flow that's about to come out of you. Oh, it's beyond anything you've ever imagined. It's just going to begin to flow out of you. It's going to bring people right into the very throne of God, tangibly, experientially, with eyes wide open. I mean, that's the sound that's going to start coming out of you. And God's going to so transform your life because you're getting a revelation of rest. It's, I give up. God's going to do this in your life that people are going to say, what happened to you? I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. There's just peace all around you. Why? Because you're at rest. You're not striving anymore. And those things that have so eluded you in your life, they're not going to elude you anymore. As a matter of fact, he's going to catalog some of that. What you thought was important, he's going to say, no, but I want to give you this. And it's going to be mind-boggling. So I want to encourage you. I mean, that's all over you. The big R, rest. Enter into his rest. How do you do that? Passion. All your heart, with all your strength, with all your imagination. That means when you go to bed at night, like you have done many times, just think about God. I see this in you. You used to lay there and think, boy, you see yourself preaching and all these miracles and stuff going on. That's good. That's rest. That's using it correctly. That's using it correctly. And the bridge between the natural and the spirit realm is the bridge of a sanctified imagination. Keep doing that, and you'll start seeing the fruit of that come to pass. Yeah. His name is R. Nick. R. Nick. Restful Nick. Praise God. It's the glory of the Lord so filled upon the house that they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised God, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. When Peter prayed, the place was shaken. Rest. What did he pray for? Boldness. He wasn't praying in fear like, oh my God, if we use his name again, we're in trouble. Save us. He said, God, give us more boldness. Rest. The place was shaken. I've been in places where I felt the shaking in the spirit. Just, I go, did you feel that rest? What? You didn't feel that? Okay. What are you saying, Father? There's a shaking going on. We were ministering in Kirkland, Washington about, 11 years ago. There was a real revival going on there. I mean, phenomenal. And they said, hey, would you come up and minister for a weekend? And I mean, the fear of God just, I said, dear God, they're in the midst of a full-blown revival. And I was terrified flesh would get in the way, so I just started fasting and praying. That was the fear of God. I said, Lord, I don't want to mess this up. I fasted and prayed and went up there. And the first night, the worship was just going. And, I mean, they had speakers as tall as this room almost. I mean, that's the way it felt. And, of course, they put you right in front of it. So you and you can't hear anything after a while. It's just a white noise. And it's like, after a little while, I started hearing, I used to work at Boeing a long time ago. When they lit up an APU for a 747, you know, auxiliary power unit. I heard that in the room and I went, my eyes are closed. I went, what in the world? Man, they really messed my ears up. And I opened my eyes and there was a pillar of fire on the platform. And I went, whoa, close my eyes. No, that's just me. Opened my eyes. It was still there and I'm hearing it. And I said to my friend John, I said, hey, John. I had to say it loud. I said, go up by the platform. Because, you know, people. He said, why? I said, trust me, God's there. He went, okay. He went up and bam. I went, hey, Roy. What? Go up by the altar. God's there. Really? Yeah. Bam. I had Pastor Jerry. I kept sending people up and they'd get close to that and just bam. And the senior pastor came up and said, well, you know, I'm not even going to introduce you tonight. You just go ahead and go on up. And I went, oops. What is? And I was like, oh, man. So I thought, well, whatever. I don't know how I made it up the platform, maybe on my knees or my face, whatever. But I got up and I was hanging on to this thing going. I mean, it was like every atom in my body was, I'm in the fire of God, you know. And they've been joking with me saying, you know, when pastor prays for people, they go flying, God gets them. And, you know, and I said, well, no, I've never had an experience like, oh, God, he's going to get you. And I said, okay. So he comes up. He says, I'm going to pray for you. I said, okay. He's on the bottom. He takes one step up. And he's looking at him. I'm going to pray for you. And I said, okay. And I'm just going, And he starts praying for me. When he does, he went flying. And I said, oh. Thank you. There is a shaking like that going on in this house. That's what was happening in worship. I haven't seen the pillar of fire yet. We will. But there's something God's about to break through into this realm. Get ready. Stay at rest. You can't make it happen, but you can passionately pursue God, and He will show up. Because it's the hour we live in. We cannot have visitation and revival on our own terms. We're going to have it on His terms or not at all. So we might as well learn to just yield. Some of us will be offended by the things we see. Good. That reveals your heart. Deal with it. Hello. You know, we were pastoring when the Toronto revival was going on. So many people could say, oh, we heard this, that, and the other thing. What do you think? I said, I don't. No, but what, you know, what do you think? I said, I reserve the right not to have an opinion. I haven't been there. No, but. I said, look. So finally I went to Pasadena with Cheyenne and John Arnott and Tommy. And I mean, it was wild. I mean, again, 4,000 decibel blasting speakers. Just ladies up here manifesting. I mean, just they'd sing about the blood of Jesus and this thing. And her would go, no. And I was like, ugh. And so quietly under my breath and with the music that loud, I just said, be still and sit down. Boom. And then I could worship. You have authority over the demonic. Don't get bent out of shape. And don't make a big display of it. And then somebody over here, it sounded the same, but it was a different spirit. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, flesh. I went, oh, okay. This person really wanted to connect with God. But they were in the flesh. They were doing what they knew to do. So I wasn't offended. And then I saw the genuine, and I knew, don't you even think about touching that. You're going to have that in any move of God. Don't worry about it. Learn from it. The wheat and the tares always grow together. Let God sort that out. Follow Him. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you this because you're about to be hit. You're about to have a move of God. You're going to see some goofy things. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, that's true. But God's about to move. What are you going to do when... Yeah, I'm just going to say this because this is going to happen. What are you going to do when Catholic nuns and priests come in here? All, you know, and... What is this? And then they come up and they want prayer and they kneel down. Pray for me. They're only doing what they know to do. But I want to tell you, God's going to start visiting everybody that's hungry for the reality of the living God. Here we go. I'm going to say one other thing, and then I'm done, I think. In Malaysia, they teach their children in church. They don't have children's church the way we think because there's not, let's do a little coloring and tell some nice Bible stories. It's, here's how you prophesy. Here's how you pray for the sick. Here's how you intercede in the Spirit. And I mean, they get these. And so they have retreats for children from ages 5 up to 16. And they go and fast and pray for the weekend. You know, they're fasting and praying for America. Lord, give them one more chance. Weeping. And this little boy, 8 years old, he's of Chinese descent. He, you know, there's a lot of pressure put on them because they're Chinese descent in a Malaysian nation. And so it doesn't matter if they're straight-A students. You can have a Malaysian that's a natural-born Malaysian that can be getting D's and F's, can go on to be a doctor and the straight-A student. No, you go be a garbage man because they are prejudiced and they show favoritism. Has nothing to do with academic achievement. It's horrible. So they strive to be the best so they can get a scholarship outside of the country. And they can go and study and become what they want. Then if they want to come back, they're doing what they want to do. This little boy at 8 years old, for some reason, he was distracted. They have to test out of every grade. I think that's good. But he was failing. And, of course, his friends start making fun of him. And he feels the pressure from his family. And he's just very despondent and depressed. And now comes this church weekend thing. And he used to be gung-ho. And he didn't even want to go to church anymore. But his parents said, no, you signed up for this. You're going to go. So he's just there laying on the floor, supposed to be praying. And he's just kind of despondent and, you know, depressed and going on. And all of a sudden, whoosh, he's caught up into heaven for an hour. And he's up in heaven, and the Lord's talking to him, and the Lord places in front of him this small little box, like the little card box that we used to have, not 8.5 by 11, but the note cards. And he said, open it. And he opened it, and there was just a list of a couple hundred names in there. Now, you listen to this. This is very important. A couple hundred names. Time is short. And he saw the names, he saw his pastor, he saw his parents. He said, Jesus, what is this? And this is what the Lord told him. Those are the names of individuals that are not going to make it to heaven because they're not walking righteously before me. And he began to say, no, Lord, no. And every name in the box disappeared. And the Lord said, now what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go preach. He said, yes, you are. And immediately he just gave him Genesis to Revelation. Foosh. He could quote it. He could put it together. He knows the word, not just quote it. He knows the word. And the Lord said, and you tell my people I'm coming back sooner than they're thinking. They better get ready. So he comes back. He's a gregarious little boy. He plays. He's just a kid. You start talking about God and it's like the wisdom of the ages comes on and this oracle begins to speak. With profound wisdom and revelation. He went back to school. He'd studied, but he's failing. When he took the test, he was the second highest in the nation because God brought everything back to his remembrance. These kids, what you're about to see in this house is the children are going to arise, but we've got to prepare them for this. This is how you pray. This is how you intercede. This is how you prophesy. This is how you pray for the sick. This is how you do the word. We're not in kindergarten. The Spirit of God in them is the same Spirit of God that's in us. And we need to prepare them for the move of God. And not just babysit them with nice stories. That's what they do in Muslim nations. From little on, boy, they can quote the Quran and curse the Jew and the Christian. They're built into them the hatred of all of that. Why don't we build the life and the truth of Jesus in our kids? Hallelujah. Again, I'm saying that because God wants to visit this house and the children. I like it. Let's stand up. Wow, some people are long-winded, huh? Father, you started this afternoon releasing your glory in this house. And right now I agree with Pastor Mike. We choose to release that glory. That deposit of the Godhead that's within us, we choose to release together with everybody else in this house. That this light of this glory would shine brightly in this place. Lord, we make declaration tonight, as your people learn to walk in this, this will be a sickness-free, a demon-free, a devil-free. I mean, whatever is not life, this will be a zone that's free of everything that's death, decay, and corruption. And it will be a place where they enter into the very presence of the living God who chooses to presence himself together with us. And I thank you for that, Father. Right now I speak to that person with that gastrointestinal problem and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Get out of that temple. Thank you for that, Father. There's pressure behind somebody's right eye. In the name of Jesus, be healed. All pressure go. And the fear that's come in with that, I pray your perfect love into that one, Father, because perfect love casts out all fear and the torment that comes with it. No stroke is going on. No loss of eyesight. We speak peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Where's the keyboardist? Come on up. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Let her flow, Nick. Just let it flow. We thank you, Father. Flood this house with your glory, Lord. Not the little bit we can stir up, but flood it, Father. Meet our little bit with your everything. We stir up the healing waters in this house, the Spirit of God. And we release that healing into your people tonight, Father. We stir up the river of revelation and release it to your people tonight, Father. That they might begin to behold and see awesome things from your perspective. We stir that up, Father. Lord, I stir up in this house tonight an activation of Philip Airlines, translation by faith, where those that you're calling to the nations of the earth will position themselves by faith in you, and you will supernaturally transport them to different geographic regions. I stir that up and release that in this house, Father. And I thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord, I speak a word over the children in this house and even in this region. A word of visitation. Visit them, Father. For this is the hour of the children leading them. Release your spirit upon the young people and the children in this region, Father. Let it be known for a place where children are known to be speakers, oracles of God. To speak for God. To see God. To lead others to God. Father, release the children in this region. And don't forget the Joshua and the Calebs, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, there are a number of people in here that have been waiting for the hour of their release because you've given them vision and you've showed them destiny. And they've been waiting and waiting. And Father, show them what to do by faith to activate that. If it's to pack a bag, if it's to get a passport, if it's to confess it, Father, release them now. It's the fullness of time. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. So many promises have been spoken over your people in this house, Father. I see many of those. I speak a coming forth, a release of those promises. Ezekiel 12:28, no more delay. No more delay. No more delay, Father. Release those promises now. Promises of healing. Promises of a future and a hope. Promises of redemption. Father, promises of salvation for their family. Promises of provisioning, Father. Release all these prophetic promises to your people tonight. We speak a release of that. Lord, I take the key of knowledge that you gave me tonight. And I open so that these people can enter into the kingdom. No more traditions keeping others out of the kingdom of God, the throne of God. But I open those portals and those doorways tonight, Father, that they might enter in. And I thank you for that, Father. And now, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Let there be a rending in the heavens tonight, Father, and come down and establish your throne in this place. And I thank you for it. Yes, sir. Do you have a Spanish-speaking service here? You will. Something's going to happen in the Hispanic community. There's a great awakening coming to the Hispanic community. God's going to begin to move supernaturally, and you're going to have to accommodate that. So, Father, we speak that release. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I see that. Right now, I bind every spirit in the high places that have been erected by witchcraft and the demonic. And I cast you down in the name of Jesus, according to the Spirit of God. You will no longer function freely in this valley or on these high places. This belongs to God. We sanctify it tonight by the Word of God and the blood of the Lamb. We release the blood of Jesus over these high places. And we speak confusion to the camp of the enemy. And a release of the glory of God into this place. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lord, we receive, God. We receive your words, Lord, spoken over this valley, God. Over our hearts, over our lives, God. Lord, I believe, God, that you're doing above and beyond all we've ever thought or even imagined, Lord. You're doing above, God. Thank you, Lord. We receive that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the results, God, that are going to come. Lord, I pray that every person in this house, God, would rise up and become who you've called them to be. Lord, that they would literally, God, take on, Lord, the word and become the flesh, God, that you desire them to be, that emanates and radiates Jesus to others, God. We thank you, Lord, for this time with you right now, Lord. We thank you, God, that you've been with us, Lord. And as we leave, God, I pray that you would just continue to incubate and stir us and just cause our night, Lord, to be a night of God, to think of you, to have greater revelation and understanding, Lord, of who we are in you and who you are in us. Continue your work, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Dennis, would you come on up?
Thank you, Lord.
My lovely wife feels that we need to really believe God for your healing. Stand in the gap for you. Same, it says in the Word that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. And that is the Word. We sometimes want a word from, you know, someone, but that is the Word of God, and that is reality. That the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead can quicken and will quicken your mortal body. So, Lord, we just believe right now, God, Lord, that the same Spirit that raised you from the dead, Holy Spirit, quicken this mortal body. Let every cell come into order in the name of Jesus. Let every tissue be placed back into to actually better than the way it started in Jesus' name. Lord, we release your power. We release your glory. We release your love into this life right now in Jesus' name. And we declare what the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn to good in Jesus' name. That no weapon formed against him will prosper in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We speak life now in Jesus' name. Resurrection power in Jesus' name. We speak it over this life now in Jesus' name. Greater is he that's in him than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God.
Pennsylvania. She was 5 months pregnant and not had any morning sickness. And all of a sudden, gangbusters. Wham! So she couldn't go to work. She's in bed. She's praying and watching Christian television, just sick. And something sparked in her and she went, wait a minute. God created time as a servant of man, not man to be a servant of time. She said, body, remember what you were like before I got pregnant and there was no sickness, and you go back to that place. And immediately all sickness left. So I'm speaking over this body. Body, you remember wholeness, health, and wellness before he was infected by this, these symptoms and by this element. And we command you to go back to that place. And all of that stuff to be eradicated out of that temple in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I bind a spirit of fear that's tried to come against them and speak things that are death, but we speak life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me ask you a question. How are you going to know you're healed? Are you going to still have symptoms when you're healed? Are you going to be able to walk on your hand? Okay, so how are you going to know you're healed? Okay. Keep that picture in your heart. And be it done unto you according to your faith.
Amen.
You make the choice when you get up and walk.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're healed. God bless you.
Amen.
Keep that picture in your heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
want everyone who feels a sickness, a disease in their body, just to come up and just stand. Just as a motion of faith, an action of faith, as the piano plays, I just believe the Lord wants to just minister to you, speak to your heart, bring healing to you that you need. He is the great physician. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you healed Gay's knee today, Lord, and I know you're no respecter of persons, so that same glory, that same power, that same healing anointing that was here this afternoon is here now, Lord. So do what you do best, God. Touch our mortal bodies, God. Bring them into alignment with the Word of God tonight, Lord. Let backs come into place. Let chemical imbalances be put back in order in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. As it is in heaven, Lord, let it be in these bodies, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We receive, Lord. We receive. We just live in a new day. We cannot let the old days that we lived previous keep us from seeing the day that we're in now. I have to tell myself that all the time because He wants us to live so much more abundantly, that abundant life. And that's in our bodies, that's in our hearts, that's in our emotions. God, let your will be done in our lives. Lord, let the reality of your word that's been spoken, Lord, this weekend, God, be a reality in our life. Lord, don't let it just be words, God, that we hear, Lord, but let it be the word of God that transforms and changes us, God. Goes into the very inner person of who we are. Let it be that discerner of our motives, God. Let it be the one that literally divides us and shows us what's not of you and what is of you. So we can truly be who you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bruce, you were sharing about the children. That is so much on my heart. You know, during the Great Awakening, and I think it was in the 1700s with Whitefield, he said that they were literally touched the most were the children. And they were so not normal children. They were literally having prayer meetings together and praying. And this was in the United States. And I really believe that this is their day. And when you said that a little, you know, little children is going to be an oracle of God, I really believe that there's going to be children in this area that are going to rise up. They're going to literally lead adults in how you walk a walk of faith. So if you have children, you speak to them that word. You speak to them that this is their hour, this is their day, this is their time, and that they do not have to be like you were when you grew up and just, you know, wait till you're an adult before things of God come into your life. I believe it's now. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Keep contending for this completion of what God wants to do in us. Don't be satisfied. Do not just say, wow, we've arrived. Do not be satisfied. Be hungry people. God bless you all. We'll be here again tomorrow at 10:30. If you want to join us, we have prayer here in the sanctuary at 10 in the morning to prepare the atmosphere for the Lord. God bless you. Have a great evening.